When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to Still Got Legs, a Doctor Who rewatch pod. What? What do you mean? Oh shit! Hello and welcome to another happy pod, the only podcast in the world, but weirdly enough, not the only one about Doctor Who. My name is Nathan. As always, I'm joined by my co-host. His name is Lawrence Thomas Heisey. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
Lawrence, indeed. No one cares because you need to tell us what this silly little show is all about.
Nathan, this is a show where we get together every week to discuss something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a movie, it could be a TV show, it could be a video game. But the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse that seems to be very, very prevalent these days.
Beautiful. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful time for all.
You had me going in the intro, I must say. I was like, Nathan's pressed the wrong bloody button again. Because it does happen for real sometimes.
I've literally never once pressed the wrong button. So
I can't prove otherwise, but I know, and I think you do too, that is not true.
Well, prove it.
I can't. I can't do it. Nathan, how the devil are you? How art thou today?
Lawrence, I'm coming to the end of my fourth whiskey right now, so...
Bottle or glass? Important distinction.
No, glass. Come on, I'm not full. If I was coming to the end of my fourth bottle of whiskey, then it'd be an entirely fucking different story, alright?
I've seen a much younger you put away two bottles of vodka before, so it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. You might just be dead after.
Laura, yeah, but... That specific night, like, I was not in a manageable state there. I, like, broke your fucking stairs as well.
You literally, you know, in The World's End, when Nick Frost just goes, "We haven't got any other ideas, so fuck it," and just puts his hand through a glass pane in the door. That was you to my actual banister.
I have no memory of it.
You know they replaced that, but just with a different banister. Oh. Like, just a different thing. So it just was like one off-coloured banister that we had.
That's landlords for you. The landlord special.
Like, that'll do.
Give it the old landlord special, just paint over it.
That is the landlord special, yeah. But yes, no, can I say what else you did that night, or do we leave it there?
Well, it depends what.
not the bad thing you did that night.
You can...
The more funny thing that I woke up to see.
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay. Hilarious that I have to make a distinction between what terrible thing. I went downstairs and Nathan was just crashed out on my sofa. And luckily your head was turned to the side because you had just spewed up over your own chest and shoulder. And you woke up and you just kind of acknowledged it. And you went, oh, Anyway, we're getting breakfast.
I don't drink as much these days. Well, I say on my fourth glass of whiskey. But if you listen to like the past like 3 or 4 podcasts, I've had a glass of whiskey every time.
I don't drink much these days, Nathan, on his like solid, like, what was it? Like a month's run of just drinking on the job.
Anyway, I guess that answers how I am. So there we go. Things are going great, as you can tell.
How I am, Lawrence, is a liability.
How are you?
I'm well, Nathan. I'm very, very well. I am feeling healthier. I'm going to give you a little health update every week.
All right. Let me just turn off my headphones for a second.
No, I don't blame you. I found a nice apple snack that now I'm eating. It's relatively low in calories, but I get to snack on them, and it's like a fruit winder for healthy people, which I am not, but I'm trying to be.
Oh, are you done? Nathan.
Okay.
Good.
I couldn't tell if I was genuinely muted and you were just like, I'm going to use this opportunity to pour my fifth glass of whiskey tonight.
Well, that is what I'm doing.
Nathan, speaking of what we're doing, I feel like it's a right jumbly mess today because we're talking about something we talk about all the time, but not here.
That's right, Lawrence. We're talking about... Well, we're not, because we're not talking... Well, we are.
It's a tricky line to walk, this one.
We're not discussing an episode of Doctor Who, because we haven't watched one, and there's not one to discuss. Well, there is. There's like over 800 of them, but that's for our other podcast.
Nathan, stay focused.
Sorry. We're discussing a movie, a TV movie, about Doctor Who.
Yes.
Our podcast that is not about Doctor Who.
Indeed.
The two podcasts we have, one of them being about Doctor Who and one of them being about literally everything else, it seems weird that we're talking about this on the one that's about literally everything apart from Doctor Who.
Yeah, but we've got a tight format on the Doctor Who one, right? It's an episode a week. Strap in. We're working through them all. We're on season 4. We're going up until the current day, which is like, what, season... 14, 15?
Well, I don't have time to get
into
this.
Oh, no, it's not, is it?
Yeah, no, it's so complicated. I don't have time to get into this discourse. Don't worry about it.
Right. Basically, if you're here and you don't have anything to do with Doctor Who, but you still wanted to tune into this week on this show, this is basically a telemovie about the making of Doctor Who, how it came to be at the BBC way back in the 1960s. And if you're here from Still Got Legs, our Doctor Who podcast... happy bonus episode, I guess.
Yeah. Is this show looser than Still Got Legs? Or is Still Got Legs the loose one? I think they're both pretty loose these days, aren't they?
They both started with good intentions to be a formatted show, and now it's just like, we're going to talk about Nathan being sick on himself for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, that's life, baby.
That's what they come here for. Nathan, an adventure in space and time, and it's really irritating me that it's not time and space.
I'm almost certain that, like, last week and probably on the last episode of Still Got Legs, I actually called it an adventure in time and space, so...
Why is it the wrong way around?
It's not, Lawrence. It's intentional.
I see. Okay.
I don't know why, but...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, is there any reason why?
No, I know.
Normally, when there's an artistic choice made, there might be a reason behind
it. I'm sure there is. I don't know it, though, but...
Fair enough. You didn't make it. Yeah. I can't expect any more from you.
I'm not Mark Gatiss, okay?
That is true. Oh, no, I just realised I'm going to have to compliment him this episode.
Get ready, Mark. Get ready for your one and only compliment coming from us.
I've said so many things on Still Got Legs about Mark Gatiss that have just been cut. Yeah. Like, his work on Sherlock mainly is just incredibly not for me. So, where do you want to start with this? What are your vibes overall? What do you like about
this? Well, what I want to start with, Lawrence, is the fact that I have seen this, because yes. I literally just watched it. But also, I had seen it before today, because I watched it in the year of our Lord, 2013, when this was initially broadcast as part of the 50th anniversary celebrations of Doctor Who. We're currently celebrating the 60th, so it's 10 years old as of this point. I don't believe you have seen it before, or you've seen bits of it, or what is your relationship with an adventure in time, an adventure in space and time.
You almost got you there. I heard that.
Didn't. No, you didn't.
Okay. Yeah, I'd never seen it before. I'd seen...
As a fan of Doctor Who, why did you not watch this during its broadcast 10 years ago?
Because stuff fell under the radar for me, right? I wasn't hot on Twitter news. I didn't know it was even really happening. My parents didn't really care about Doctor Who, and I didn't watch just daytime television, so they didn't tell me it was going on. I didn't know. And then by the time I heard about it...
How old was you in 2013?
I was fairly young.
Was you? I was in uni when this
came out. I wasn't young, but I was like, I was old enough to be out, you know, fucking necking bottles of Strongbow at the park with the boys.
Oh, that's true. You was at that age, wasn't you?
Yeah.
I was in my first year of uni. The uni we went to, obviously, a different one.
Yeah, you went to the second one, which was the one that I was at. I guess I was just like, I don't know, I just never saw it. And then by the time I knew it existed, I was like, I just never checked it out. Don't know why.
Interesting. Sounds like we've got a fake fan over here, folks.
No, please, I have a Doctor Who podcast, Nathan. It's like a certificate.
No, incorrect. All right, interesting. So you'd never seen it before today. What did you know of it?
I knew it was about... I didn't know it would go as far as it did, but I knew it was about how Doctor Who came to be, the kind of production and conception of the idea. Mm. And I also knew that there was a scene where Matt Smith had a little look at David Bradley. That was all
spoiler
I knew.
Spoiler alert.
Stop doing this. That's what we're going to do today. Spoiler.
I'm just saying. Spoiler alert.
But yeah, that was literally all I knew about it. So I went in, I don't know, fairly blind, I guess, just excited to be taken on the journey. And I think it's a good journey. Not to show my cards too early, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Interesting. Interesting stuff.
Indeed.
Well, sounds like you hated it. No, I'm just kidding. So as I said, I first saw this 10 years ago. I've seen it a couple times since, to be honest. I watch it like every few years or so. But last time I watched it was about 6 months ago. I just got bored one time and I was like, it's been a while since I watched that. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
And now, not realizing I'd be doing it for a podcast in 6 months, but then...
that happens every now and again. We're like, well, we saw that like the other day. Like, we can't do this.
Yeah, and the other day can be any time within the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So, like,
there are some movies I've seen within 3 years that I wouldn't go like, I'm not going to put that on. I watched that 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, same, because it feels too recent.
It does. You want to forget about a lot of stuff in it and go in surprised. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, so I've seen it quite a few times. I enjoy it, yeah. I think it's a good, interesting look back. I don't know how accurate it is, to be honest. I've not necessarily looked into all that stuff. I'd imagine fairly so. It seems to be, you know... There's nothing like, hey, isn't this all great and aren't we all great? You know, it doesn't shy away from some stuff, really, which is quite interesting. It's not afraid to poke a bit of fun at the BBC itself, which is a good bit of fun. I like that.
It's refreshing. I was really surprised at that. I had a few notes on how, like, I was surprised that the BBC were calling the BBC themselves out for being kind of sexist and...
Well, it was the 60s.
I know, so they're happy to admit, like, I feel like the BBC admitting to sexism is like, yeah, well, we did sexism when everyone did sexism, but we realised it wasn't cool first. We were the first to move out of the sexism.
Sure.
But I think it's a really, really nice, it's like this almost, like, this is obviously coming from two people that have a bias that enjoy the show enough to have a fucking podcast about it. But I think it's just a nice... kind of slice of history, this TV movie that's like it's almost like a romanticized look at how, like, this show that now touches the hearts of, like, so many people and is, like, lauded as one of the best sci-fi shows ever produced. Like, it's interesting to reframe that as, like, this ragtag group of underdogs that were, like, just scraping by to try and get a few people to look at their fucking show.
I tell you what I enjoy about that is the fact that on our other podcast, Still Got Legs, available every Monday at 10 a.m. we would often talk about the budget and how, you know, it's especially in like series one and stuff. It was, I just come back. They wasn't quite sure. The budget's £10.50 for this episode. And you can tell.
Yeah.
Like they are gluing stuff together. They are tying it all up with string.
What do we always used to say? It was like silly string and hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's literally, yeah. And I don't know. It's kind of heartwarming to see it started off in the same place as well. It started off just as, yeah, as like in what was it at the time? 40 years, just over 40 years. Not much had changed, really. It was, yeah, still, it was still very scrappy. It was still, you know, held together with tape and prayers and everything like this. It was just as, there's a great scene where Verity and Waris Hussein, the producer and director of the show, are trying to sell it to William Hartnell, as played by David Bradley, and they're like, oh, the BBC's throwing everything at this. We've got top-of-the-range studios, and it just cuts to, like, a guy just sweeping rubbish out of, like, a garage. And it's just a fun little scene. I enjoyed that bit quite a lot. That kind of stuff.
There is, like, this kind of, like... There is this sense of, although, yeah, the BBC really weren't hopeful in it, it does still feel like there was all this new stuff that was kind of produced for it. Like, there's a sense of, like, ingenuity where, like, it's, like, ushering out kind of old techniques. And it's like, how did you make that effect? And it's like, it's just some light on a mirror. And it's like, how do you make that sound? That's really unique. I've never heard that before. That's just this guy's keys on a fucking string or something. Like, I don't know. I feel like, although there is absolutely that element of, the BBC aren't throwing a single fucking penny at it, at the same time, it was still, and I guess it speaks to the success of it, like it still was looked at with fresh eyes and fresh technology. It was cheap technology as far. It was like literally dirt cheap, and the ingenuity came out of the fact that they had no budget, but it was still a fresh new direction for the BBC to go in.
So what did you like about this, Lawrence? Apart from everything that you hated, obviously.
Well, of course. Obviously, all the things I hated, I didn't like. But the stuff that I did like, I kind of came to the realization at the end that, like, I went into it being like, I'm really looking forward to seeing just some kind of reimaginings of how Doctor Who was made. And, like, at first, the little moments, like, hearing the guy play the theme song for the first time to Verity, I was like, this is really cool. I bet this is actually, like, fairly close to how it happened.
But, did you know that started happening, and I was like, is the intro to my podcast playing?
What's going on?
It's literally this. And I was like, what? War flashbacks.
But, like, I don't know. There was something, what I came to really fucking love about it, it was, like, at the end, I realised that I'd just been on this journey with David Bradley giving just this phenomenal performance of, like, a guy who's, like, kickstarts a show that becomes so progressive, it progresses past him. And him coming to terms with that, like, how it reframes regeneration as a way to push out the old face.
Yeah.
Which was incredible. And I don't know, I wrote this down that it was, like, I found it really, really endearing and interesting that it was basically, like, it was basically a retelling of the start of people's very prosperous careers paired with the end of an old guy's career.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, just these two things, like a final note in someone's body of work that really turned his relationship with, like, his family around. Like, he's got his granddaughter that he kind of is dismissive of at first and comes to really appreciate, and, like, he kind of sneers at the idea of doing a show that kids love, and by the end of it, he's like, the kids are counting on me. I can't let them down. I don't know, just a fucking genuinely... I could go on about it forever, but I won't. But, like, just a genuinely really gut-wrenching performance from David Bradley.
A really good performance. It's interesting. I think the casting of David Bradley shows how fucking horribly people aged back in the day.
Really?
Because William Hartnell was 55 when he took on the role of Doctor Who. To put that in context, David Tennant just turned 52, okay? 3 years younger than this guy, all right? And on his birthday, he filmed a scene. On his 52nd birthday, he filmed a scene, which we just saw the children in the scene.
Yeah.
So that goes to show, like, just the difference in... And David Bradley, yeah, he was in his 70s at the time this was. He's in his 80s now, but yeah, he was in his 70s.
Wow.
When this was filmed, so yeah, I think that's worth noting, really.
There is this fun thing where he's like, because obviously, if we're supposed to be believing that he's playing a 55-year-old man in this, there's a really funny...
Well, he looks like him.
It does, yeah. That's how
he was cast for a reason.
Yeah. But there's this really funny moment where they like William Hartner was taking a walk in the park with his wife, and he's kind of weighing up the option as to like whether to do this gig or not. He wants a change in this is very much outside of his what he's known for playing. He's been typecast for a long time as these military figures, because he's got a very stern and commanding and kind of threatening aura about him. So he's tossing up his options as to whether to take this gig or not. And he goes, oh, fantastic. He's the doctor's like this older character, this kind of grumpy grandpa type figure. And he's like, I love playing older. And I'm like, you won't have a problem with it, mate. Yeah. And I can see why.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, it's true. I do think the casting of David Bradley is quite good. David Bradley, now, he shares the honour with Peter Capaldi of having played three different roles within the Doctor Who universe.
Oh, okay,
And it gets very specific as well. Three different roles within the Doctor Who universe, with one of them being the Doctor himself and another one on a spin-off.
Okay, right, yeah.
So he obviously plays the First Doctor. He went on to play the First Doctor after this came out, which is quite interesting and fun in its own way.
Oh, was this before he'd taken on the role as the First Doctor?
So this was in 2013, and then it wasn't until 2017 when he was in the Christmas special of Doctor Who, Twice Upon a Time. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I figured he was just... I don't know, just in my mind, I guess I'd seen one before the other and assumed it was the kind of order in which it came out, which is obviously not true.
No, that's not how time works.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely not in a space and time, I guess. Fucking hell.
This came first. He's played the Doctor. Before that, though, obviously, he played the villain in a Matt Smith episode of Doctor Who.
Okay.
And then he also played the villain in a Sarah Jane episode as well. That was just a voice, though, technically.
Oh, who was he
in that? It was also a Matt Smith episode, because Matt Smith was in that. It was the death of the Doctor. He was like a weird bird puppet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know the bird. And it's like interrupts Sarah Jane's wedding or something.
No. That's David Tennant's episode. That's a different one altogether. That's the trickster.
Oh, yes.
You're thinking of two different things. You're thinking of two different episodes.
I feel like I know the bird, though. Has it got a big spindly neck and a big, long, creepy beak?
It kind of looks like a big ostrich.
It's like a big bird puppet.
It's the Doctor's funeral. Like, they all come together for the Doctor's funeral.
Right,
you can't. I'm doing quotation marks.
Yeah, they killed. They killed the Doctor in the kids' CB spin-off that no one saw.
So yeah. Anyway, there's that bit of fun.
That is cool. Well, you asked me, but what do you like about it? Why do you come back to this as often as you do?
I don't like it, actually. I think it's shit.
Oh, fair enough then. Yeah, well, thanks for listening, folks.
No, I enjoy it. I think, first of all, the cast is very good. Obviously, we spoke about David Bradley, but I think the young actress who plays Carol Ann Ford and Susan, obviously, is incredible. Like, so if you watch some of, like, those early episodes and, like, Susan's scene, she fucking nails it, man. She, like, gets that character perfect. And, you know, all the, like, kind of recreations they do of, like, the episodes and stuff, they're all really good and pretty much spot on, which is quite enjoyable. But then you also have Sacha Dhawan as Waris Hussein,
yeah,
which is great. And then you've got Jessica Rain as Verity Lambert as well, which is just great casting. They do a great job, I think.
Yeah. I think they all do, yeah. And you see at the end, they do that, like, what happened to them after Doctor Who? What did they go on to produce and direct and star in and everything else? And kind of like it just does the, you know, at the end of documentaries, it does like the legacy sum up, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's good to see like the side by side photo comparisons. And I'm like, fuck, they really did nail some of these. Like, I haven't seen hardly anything of classic Doctor Who, but I've obviously seen. Oh, like you've seen fucking all of it.
I've seen more than you.
Yeah, more than me is not a lot.
I've seen a fair chunk.
No, I'm saying you wouldn't have to have watched a lot to get more than me.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah. Fair enough.
So that was a slight on me more than you. But no, I do think they all have quite a strong likeness. And they do a good job like capturing the era, I think. Like Sacha Dhawan, it's very interesting to see him play this kind of like meek, young, inexperienced director who is just kind of like weighed down by the sheer pressure of the job. Considering I know him as the master, someone running around manically cracking up at the Doctor, and
I didn't even think about that until just now. Yeah.
So it's a nice kind of interesting to see his range, because I haven't seen him in a lot of other things either.
Did you not see him in Iron Fist as evil Iron Fist?
Is he? Oh, he is evil Iron Fist in Iron Fist. Yeah. I've wiped that show from my memory completely. That really holds no space in my mind. it's a bad show. You spoke about it a little bit earlier, but I quite like that there is like this. They do touch on the sexism more than I thought they would.
Oh, really?
It's not in a way that is ever just like berating and fucking irritating, and like Verity can't get a word out without.
Because you famously hate it when sexism is addressed and everything like that.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
They're like another woke propaganda show.
I'm like, these people weren't alive back then. They don't know. No, but I don't know. I like the way that they do it here. I think it's very much like. Also, that was a joke, by the way. I realized I let it on like it was serious.
I mean, you realize just how real that sounded for a second.
Fuck me. I like that it's like there's setbacks that Verity faces because of kind of the internalized sexism that just happens at the BBC. Like, she goes to an office of like the set designers where the guy hadn't built the spaceship because they just don't see the woman produced show as the being a priority in any capacity.
Well, it's a silly little kid show, isn't it?
Yeah, but then also, like, Verity cops the flack for that. Is it Sydney? Sydney's in it?
Yeah, Sydney Newman.
Yeah, Sydney is just like, fucking produce it. Like, it's not an easy job, and it's going to be harder for you, so just fucking do it.
Yeah.
And even that, again, like, it's not really her fault to any capacity. But I like how she gets, like, stronger as the episode goes on. She does just go in and, like, stake her fucking claim and say like fuck you, I'm here, and then she ends up obviously blowing all of their other shows out the water with the success of Doctor Who. But I do think it's very like they do it really well, where like there are some people that are just outrightly sexist, where like the guy is
racist.
There is one comment I went, oh, hang on.
Yeah. What was that? The heat one.
The heat one about how Sacha Dhawan should be used to the heat. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I like that it's kind of met with a guy being like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, well, I'm just saying. but no, like in terms of like how the sexism is done, it's this guy just kind of like outwardly is like, oh, Did you bring the producer with you then? Because it obviously can't be you.
But then
there's the other guy who is like, he becomes nicer, obviously, but he's like the nice guy TM. He's like just being a bit patronizing. He's like, oh, it's going to be an uphill battle for you, and you could really learn for a thing or two from us.
Listen, dear lady, you should listen to us men, because
yeah,
we're here to help, and we can help someone like you, because we've been doing this a while.
Yeah,
you know?
And like, there is a part where he says like, experience isn't a dirty word, and it's right. But like, also, she's better than you, and like, yeah. And I know this because she produced one of the most successful shows.
Yeah.
But no, there is this whole kind of thing that I really enjoy about it. The whole tone of, like I said it kind of earlier, but like ushering out the old, like the old attitudes, and having this show that does get progressively more progressive. And interesting when you toss up that one of our most recent debates on Still Got Legs was how they had two female writers in like a 10-year time period or something.
I mean, it takes a while, but it does. It gets there.
No, but you can see. I like that you can see the motion of it happening.
Yeah,
and I also think it's. I'm just naturally surprised that the BBC took that approach to include it at all.
Yeah.
Like, they could have easily been like, everything was smooth sailing for Verity, and we had absolute confidence in this show from day one.
But where's the fucking fun in that? Where's the interest in that?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's all just like, it was all great from the start and nothing went wrong, like, boring. I don't want to watch that. I mean, I will, because it's Doctor Who, but like, the real story is much more interesting. To the fucking point where, like, they had to reshoot the entire first episode because they watched it and they were like, that in between his meme, that was fucking dreadful.
Just like the TARDIS doors flapping open and like the set was like pissing with water because it got too hot and the sprinklers came on.
I should say the set design is impeccable. Like the way they recreated the TARDIS set from from the early years and that type of stuff, it looks great. And I really like fucking I don't know how true this is, but I love what they did with like William Hartnell's attitude towards it. How like he needs to understand the controls and he needs to know what button does what and where the door switch is and all that type of stuff. Because like people will notice, and like he's right, because I do. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. It's why I hate the fucking 10th Doctor's TARDIS.
I had a note that literally reads, I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to call you out, and it says, when Hartnell explains that the children will notice when the TARDIS buttons change depending on what they're needed to do in the plot, he was talking directly about you, Nathan.
He's right.
Nathan, the almost 30-year-old man, will notice.
It's true, yeah. Fucking hell, I just looked at it. I literally turned 30 in a month today. Fuck my life.
You're almost old enough to play a really grumpy old doctor.
I know, yeah. I'm not far off. I'm closer to that than I am to being born. I get that sounds weird.
I do like when you were talking about the set dressing and stuff, and it's like an impeccable recreation of like the actual sets from 1960. It's what I really, I don't know, I just, the humour isn't lost on me that people have gone to painstaking detail and like painstaking effort to recreate the finite details of this thing that was once thrown together in a week, that people have just gone, fuck it, it'll do.
It's like, what's that movie? It's like the Saw bathroom. You know, the Saw bathroom, it's legit, because it was a movie which cost like $20 or whatever. They're like, oh, we'll just set it in this shitty looking bathroom, we'll mess it up a little bit. Great. But now, like, they have to spend, like, hundreds of millions of dollars, like, perfectly recreating that shitty-looking bathroom for every movie now, which is
quite
funny.
When they do their little flashbacks over the... Dun-dun-dun!
But it's the same with Doctor Who, though, because they do. They spend a lot of money, like, trying to recreate, like, the classic TARDIS. Look, it comes up a few times in, like, the revival era and stuff, so... And don't get me wrong, they do a good job, but like, yeah, there's some money in that.
Yeah,
like, cost a pretty penny to get it to that like level of detail and
they,
stuff.
They probably spent like fucking 10 times the amount to actually just make that set full stop.
Probably, yeah.
And they probably scaled it differently because they had to accommodate all the cameras that they needed to shoot with actual cameras. Like,
yeah, And the colors are probably different as well, because like the show was in black and white, obviously. So like the way you film things in like black and white, you need to be careful of like what colors what, because like famously the Addams Family, the old TV show, the first TV show, the Addams Family, like the sets were all bright pink because that's how, because when you know if when something is broadcast in black and white, like a sort of like white, grey, dark wall doesn't show up well on black and white. So you have to like paint it this like sort of bright pink colour to get the right kind of contrast. And the same with this, like the TARDIS console, it's like a weird lime green sort of.
It catches you off guard for a minute. And you go, that's not how I remember that.
But then obviously in black and white, it kind of looks like metallic white and silver and that type of stuff, which is how it supposed to is. So yeah, that's all interesting as well.
They have that great line about like how they're in this kind of, obviously it's a setting, some bigger Whovian than me will be able to tell me like where the
me
let's put that to the test
on that.
What is the episode that they were filming when they had like these kind of red walls and they make a direct comment about it not being they're like, oh, this looks amazing, shame no one will see it like this.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking that might be the Marco Polo episode. Well, but I don't know, I might be wrong.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Okay, well, I respect an honest stab in the dark.
Okay, thank you.
They did that recently, didn't they, with Werewolf by Night? I was trying to think of something that done it.
I haven't seen that.
Yes, you have.
No, I've never heard of it.
What have I got down here? I like to see that.
Didn't they release that in colour?
I haven't watched it in colour. I didn't see the point.
Yeah, but like if they released it in colour, then I doubt they would have recolored it. So
no,
like,
but everything was quite, they made everything intentionally quite like Technicolor and bright and fantastical, very like Wizard of Oz style colors.
Right. Go ahead.
Just so that when
while they played that Wizard of Oz song.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. I'm not saying it was subtle. I'm just saying
that. I haven't seen it. I don't know that one. I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I was really chuffed as a Succession fan going into this.
Oh, my God. Fucking hell. All right. I don't know why, and I don't care why.
No, but the guy who plays Sasha is Logan Roy. He's like he's basically the Rupert Murdoch stand-in in Succession.
Who's Sasha?
Not Sasha, Sydney.
Oh, Sydney. Sydney Newman?
Sydney, yeah, the guy who plays Sydney Newman in this, Brian
Bug-eyed, Cox. Bug-eyed Monsters?
Bug-eyed Monsters and pew-pew-pew, or pow-pow-pow.
Pow-pow-pow. Oh, what's the guy from Community?
Arvid?
No, Pop Pop. What was he?
Oh, I think he was called Pop Pop.
Was he called Pop
Pop? I think they called him Pop Pop.
Pop Pop.
What a fucking absurd show that is.
I know.
But yeah. I really, really liked
Whiskey number 5 finished for everyone.
Okay. Wait, I thought it was 4 when we started. Have you had a sneaky one in between?
No, it was coming to the end of 4 when we started.
Oh,
and
I see.
I poured number 5, didn't I?
I see, my apologies. I haven't been keeping track.
Well.
Oh, hang on.
Gesundheit.
Oh, thank you, hang on.
Oh, now you're just pushing it.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. That was presumptuous of me.
Yeah, Gesundheit.
What does
Gesundheit mean?
I have no idea.
Where does it come from? What language is
it? I say it because you say it.
Yeah, but I say it. Come on now. I'm taking the
piss. That is really rude, yeah.
But I say it because it was in that one episode of Friends.
I've never seen that episode, so.
You've never seen that show?
No, it's true. Indeed.
It was a fun little tangent.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? What I really like about this is seeing, like, there's certain elements that, like, the BBC knows are iconic imagery, like the TARDIS and the Daleks and the Cybermen and everything else.
Yeah,
They're like the you say Doctor Who, you think of that. Especially
Cybermen.
You do.
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
Okay,
I was just saying Cybermen. You didn't say Cybermen. That's all.
I said Cybermen.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why I looked so confused. I was like, are you saying they're not iconic?
Oh, no, they very much are. Yeah. The episode of the show, the movie opens with a Cyberman having a fag.
That's what I was going to say. I love seeing them in like these silly little things. Cyberman's just having an absolute ripper drag. And then like later on, you've got obviously that iconic shot of the Cybermen going across the bridge.
Daleks.
Oh, the Daleks. Yeah, the Daleks going across the bridge. And they say, it's funny that like the director walks over and he's like, we always have to start back because of you. You're too close to the curb. And this Dalek just basically tells him to fucking like suck eggs and do one.
No, when he goes, I made a note of this because I found it hilarious. It's just very funny just seeing a Dalek go, what need a wee, don't I? You shot being in here. I need a wee, don't I?
And it looks snug, dude. Like you get the interior shot of like those guys and like, those poor guys just wrapped up in there. Yeah,
60 years and they still have guys in the Dalek fucking. What? You surely you can do a remote control by this point?
I think they probably can. Well, yeah, actually, yeah, because you think about it, and like the Last Jedi like brought back like puppeteering with Yoda. Like, there's no way that couldn't be done remote controlled. Or
yeah,
I guess. I don't know. I couldn't tell you why.
I just think, like, I don't know. Like, I get, like...
They're going to listen to this and go, oh, yeah. Why don't we?
I don't understand, like, the need to... And I'm not saying, like, don't give these guys jobs. That's not what I'm saying at all. But, like, I don't know. I just think surely it's easier to just have, like, a fucking remote... Like, they still... Some like when The Force Awakens was coming out and like Kenny Baker was listed as playing R2-D2, I'm like, why?
I think that's a legacy thing.
More legacy thing. Like, I get it, but like, surely, like, you go to a fucking convention and there's like fucking 30 of them just roaming around like with some guy with a fucking remote behind it. Like,
what would it do all this time it was revealed that like there was just a small guy inside BB-8 just getting fucking dizziness and trauma, just blunt force fucking rattling.
Have you seen the footage of like the guy in like the green screen suit just like behind BB-8 on like a big fucking stick? just like running with him like a pram.
I like to imagine someone in BB-8 is like a, like, you know when someone goes zorbing and they're just all over the shop, they just have no concept of how to stand up. That's what
By the way, I just want to clarify, it's absolutely great that Kenny Baker came back for The Force Awakens. He's a fucking legend and he should have done. I just like bring him back as like a cameo or like give him another role to do rather than forcing him inside this little fucking droid fucking prop costume, whatever.
He's probably just cracked like this 70-year-old man just cramped.
Exactly.
Probably just arthritis, a bad back, and he's just there like, oh, this sucks, but thanks for the million or whatever it was.
I hope he got paid. Well, he obviously did.
He got paid. He's a legacy returning member of Star Wars. They paid him.
But you were saying about like the iconography of it all?
Yeah, I like that they lean into that, and like, because something I considered kind of halfway through this was the silhouette of the Doctor is ever changing, right? There is iconography to that. For the most part.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it looks like David Tennant more often than it doesn't. But for the most part,
But like, what I'm saying is everyone has their way in. Like, like people watching this, because this presumably would have like caught the attention of a few dads that remembered their time watching Doctor Who as a wee lad. And I just like the fact that they leaned more into like the Daleks creation, and they did a big, the Daleks almost got like a bigger fanfare than anything, and they really kind of made this point that at least how they coincided the story was that the bringing about the Daleks made Doctor Who what it was.
And it did, though. That's a matter of fact, though, because like the show aired and it was like, it's fine.
It's fine. It is what it is most of the time, which is a cool show, but there's nothing that like grips you to it like a Dalek. Yeah.
And then you got like 4 episodes of like, you know, you got 4 weeks of the Doctor and his companions like in caves with these cave people, and they're like, ooh, 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 talking to each other in grunts and everything like that, and doing all this. And like, if you haven't watched it, like, no, it's great to see where it came from, but it's tough to get through, like that first story arc and everything like that. But then the second story arc is the Daleks, Terry Nation's the Daleks, the introduction of the Daleks. And it's like, it's in like the history of Doctor Who, it is massively overshadowed the first story, because tell me someone who doesn't know the Daleks.
Yeah, you can't.
Like,
yeah.
Even if you're like American, or like even if you don't know Doctor Who, you know the Daleks. Like, if you show someone a Dalek, they're like, oh yeah, it's a Dalek. Like, you know?
I do like that scene specifically of Brian Cox playing Sydney. Just trying his hardest as an actor to pretend that he doesn't know this, the word Dalek.
Is that the Brian Cox? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, because you famously don't know who Professor Brian Cox is, do you?
No, I don't.
You were like, the guy from Succession? What? No.
It's another guy called Brian Cox, okay? But yeah, no, I like that there's that scene of him, like, just trying desperately as an actor to pretend that Dalek doesn't roll off the tongue when he sees those letters in that order. Like, the furthest leap that I could get if I was trying not to pronounce Dalek as Dalek would be like Dalek. But like, it's not like Dorling and like all these other ridiculous things he was saying. That's a bit of fun. I like that. Good, there's this there's this part of him that's like, there is a bit of stiff upper lip kind of BBC of like, well, we're gonna take him back in time. These kids ought to learn something. Like, there's this kind of nature to it, which I thought was quite fun.
It was very interesting the way they did the introduction of the Daleks, and it was paired with like, you know, Sydney reading the script of like the introduction, the description of them, and at the same time that's happening, we're getting these flashes of like, not quite sure what it is at first. It's like a lens. Is like the eye lens of a Dalek? Is that like? And then there's like a barrel of a gun, and we're like, oh, it's a Dalek's ray gun or whatever. Yeah. But then it like cuts to a hard shot, and it's the Kennedy assassination, because famously, I think it was the day before Doctor Who aired, Kennedy was assassinated, and they were like, well, that's that fucked then.
Basically. I mean, like, fucking David Bradley as William Hartnell said it best. Everyone's watching the fucking news.
And of course they are, because it's like, it's the biggest fucking event in the world. It's like your new show airing on September 11th, 2001. Like, oh, no one's tuning in, mate.
And I'm sorry. And it's not like they can catch it on iPlayer. Like, this matters
quite a lot. Yeah, exactly. And it was quite interesting the way they handled that. Obviously, like, there is a possibility in a world out there where, like, if they didn't do a repeat or whatever, then it just never made it. Then it was just like, well, that's that, I guess.
Yes, that was a weird footnote in our expansion plans, and that was that.
Yeah. See you later, Doctor Who.
I do like that moment where, like, Sydney is just kind of, like, giving Verity some shit for it, like, not performing very well. And then, like, she's like, well, come on, like, be fair. Like, some people were preoccupied, and he turned the newspaper around to that, like, iconic Jackie sprawled across the car kind of thing. And like, it says, like it was a big headline, like, Kennedy assassination. He was like, oh, so it was Kennedy's fault. And it's like, no, but, like, like, cause and effect, bro. Like, come on.
It's the guy who shot Kennedy's fault. He should have known Doctor Who was coming.
Exactly, yeah. Not a Whovian. Yeah. I suppose he didn't get the chance to be a Whovian, did he?
No, never seen it. Never seen it.
Good. Fuck him. I don't know. Do I like Kennedy? I have no idea. I just... Maybe this is too progressive of me, Nathan, but I don't think people deserve to get shot in the head.
Well, wow. What a bold statement. That sounds too woke, if you ask me.
I don't know why. It brought me back to... That I fucking love that episode of Do Go On, where they talk about Lyndon B. Johnson. It's like, Lyndon B. President.
That's a kind of like a running gag on Do Go On. It's great every time it comes up.
It's so
Lyndon
good.
B. Rowland. Just Lyndon B. anything. Yes. Just like Lyndon B. going to the shops. Lyndon B. watching TV.
It was when it was like, because they said like he's been sworn in as president, and I was like, Lyndon be president.
Lyndon be president.
I got this. I kind of touched on it earlier, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. I fucking love that this, like, we love regenerations, right? They're big events in Doctor Who now, right? Your Doctor typically gets a speech and a send off.
You have a good cry.
Yeah, yeah. And you also, it's a, like, it's a time of change in the show that is always interesting, and it obviously usually brings about a new actor. Not the best time in Doctor Who's history to be talking about that. But
we'll get another one presumably soon.
Yeah, exactly.
And within the next few weeks, and then we'll, you know,
that'll be interesting. But like,
yeah,
I don't know. I like that they frame it here as this excellent kind of depiction of a man who, like, was kind of semi-retired, looking for roles, out of his element, bored of his job, to this man who got this role, had a wonderful time with it, grew quite a lot, or at least in this story. I don't know much about William Hartnell in real life and how true this was, but like grew quite a lot as a person because of it, formed his own like TARDIS team in a way of like a family surrounding like the producers and the directors that he became familiar with. And then basically they reframe how a regeneration in the show acts as basically the really sad story of a man who was never ever going to tell himself enough was enough, but needed to kind of get the boot so that the show could go further than him, so that like his work building this incredible thing could stand the test of time and live on.
There's a moment in it where it's kind of like, I don't know if you will ever know this, because like, sounds harsh, but I genuinely don't mean it harsh, but like, you've never like done like a proper job, but like,
I've done a fucking proper job.
No, but I mean like a job where you start with like a whole bunch of people and you're in training together.
Oh,
and that
yeah,
type
no,
of stuff.
I've never done that. Yeah,
exactly. So it's like when you get a job and like, You with like a whole group of people.
L plus unemployment plus dole line plus ratio.
And then, you know, you're in training together for a couple of weeks, you get to know each other, and then you start the job, and then like one by one, like they just drop. Like, you know, and then one day, like a few months down the line, you're just at work and you just have the realization that, oh, I'm the only one out of my training group who's left now. Like, it's kind of like that sort of thing at one point. Like, it gets to the point for William Hartnell where, like, he's the only one left from that, like, kind of OG crew. There's no one there who started Doctor Who.
Yeah.
They're still around. Verity's left. Warris is left. Ian, Barbara, Susan, they've all left. So.
And I think it paints, like, change as rapid as well.
Yeah.
Like,
the
way, I mean, just because it's the nature of a TV movie, so they've got a long ground to cover in a short span of time. But like, it's little things like David Bradley is taking longer than they would have liked to have set himself on the TARDIS. And like, he's taking longer than they want to remember his lines. And they're skipping over things that he deems important, which are important to a child's belief in the show. Like, i.e. the TARDIS is in flight, the console should be moving. And when it's
not. But at the same time, he's also difficult to work with in the case that like, he is a grumpy old man. Like, people don't like talking to him because he'll just like yell at them, and he'll like you don't know where you're born, get away, and all this sort of
shit. The director's like, "Hi, Bill, how you doing?" And he's like, "You haven't earned the right to use my name. Let's see how long you last on my fucking show."
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, it gets to a point where like, one of the characters, like, he goes to Sydney with like just a whole bunch of fucking memos, which are like presumably complaints about William Hartnell, like,
so quaint in the day of like 10,000 Ofcom write-ins and stuff now. Like, we've had five people moan about this guy. I do really like that, and it's kind of there's almost not a right side, because like, he needs to let go and let things progress and take his hands off the wheel, but at the same time, it's important that when he goes, there is someone left to respect what's been done.
Well, it is You see, this is a strange thing, because we have 60 years of Doctor Who history to look back on.
Yeah.
And to say, of course that's important, yeah, but at the time it's not, though, is it? It's like...
No, but...
It's a fucking massive roll of the dice to be like, yeah, well, we have this show, it's great, everyone loves it, we're going to fire the main actor. We're going to fire the main actor, and then we're going to get someone else in. Who's going to take over? Is he playing a different character? No. What?
I don't understand how that works.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't trust it. But sure. let's see what happens. It's a fucking huge roll of the dice.
I like that brief moment you get to see of Patrick, the guy who plays Patrick Troughton, come in as well.
Reese Shearsmith, I think it is.
Yeah. And just a great little, like, great quick Patrick Troughton. Kind of impression, because he doesn't really have a chance to flesh out a character or anything. It's more just like,
yeah.
But I love those little, they got Patrick Troughton's kind of like little quips down, like the, well, who's who? And like, oh, yeah. There's only one man in England that can do it. Oh, couldn't they get him? And all of this. Like, it's all very fun, but it does, it's kind of, you see him as this kind of tragic figure for David Bradley, because he's essentially looking at, oh, that's
his replacement.
That's my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here you go. I guess I'm just going to... And, like, the way he walks off set, it's very much like a, okay, bye.
That's it now.
Well, let's get on. Yeah.
Like, see you later.
Yeah, yeah, Patrick Troughton's on set. He's the number one guy.
I'll tell you what's very interesting, and we'll obviously get to this on Still Got Legs, but there's the Doctor Who confidential for David Tennant's last episode is very interesting, because there's a moment, like, where they do... the regeneration scene, and there's like him on set and there's Matt Smith on set,
yeah,
and like he does like his final part and stuff, and it's like this real just like big emotional moment, and it's just like, all right, see you later, bye,
sir. Yeah, can we dress the set,
let's
for
carry
Matt,
on
please.
With a new guy, yeah. See you later, David, cheers.
And you get like, that amazing moment where Matt is walking to the TARDIS in Tennant's suit, and it's like, it all, and like I think Russell even says like it feels wrong, like it's bizarre. I've got
not something we had here, though, interesting enough, because one of only two occasions, the other one being the most recent, where the Doctor regenerates and the clothes also regenerate.
He's got to switch up his vibe. Other times it's been like, this vibe is appropriate. This time he's like, nah, not feeling it.
Sure.
You know me. And anyone that listens to Still Got Legs knows me for being a big, big fan of the kind of 2005 to 2010-ish run of Doctor Who.
Yes.
It's my one, series 1 to 4 is like my favourite kind of time of the show, and Tennant is my favourite Doctor. Yeah. No, I understand it's not an inspired choice, but I grew up with him. He's the Doctor to me. All of my fond childhood memories of Doctor Who are with him.
Such a unique and interesting show.
Right, for people my age, this is a popular opinion, Nathan.
I know, I'm aware, Lawrence.
But, so you can imagine how I felt. And this is...
I bet you love Tobey Maguire too, don't you?
No, I actually think he's one of the worst. I like his movies, I think he's not great. But I like the line... Well, I don't like it, it fucking absolutely shattered me. And David, this all testament to David Bradley and his ability to just make your heart melt for this old guy who is getting more irritable by the minute. Just him warming his hands over the fireplace and crying and saying that he doesn't want to go, which is obviously a very famous line from the 10 era, just fucking shattered me, just eviscerated me, and I just felt so sad for him.
You see, it's interesting because... The first time I watched it, I was the exact same. I was very much very emotional about that, and absolutely cried and had all these kind of like very emotional reactions to it. But like the more I watch it, I don't know. I think it's just because the older I get, the more I get jaded with the 10th Doctor's regeneration. Like now, I'm just at a point where I'm like, ugh. Like I don't know. I
have so many questions. We'll get to it. Later on this season of Still Got Legs, but I have so many questions.
We can't talk about it now, but like, look, I just, I, It's difficult to know what to say. I don't know. I just get jaded with a few things.
What's it? You didn't like the? Was it you didn't like the reference? You didn't.
I don't think. No, I think that like I love the reference the first time I saw it, but now it's to the point where I've seen it a few times. Now it just kind of feels a bit ham-fisted to
it,
me. Now
it absolutely is ham-fisted. Yeah.
Yeah. It just feels like is this thing you know? And the movie like it does that a lot. Like, there's a whole lot of, like, these references. Like, at one point where Sidney Newman is firing Will Hartnell, he literally goes, we need to regenerate the show. All right.
William Hartnell's getting pitched, and he goes, the Doctor? Doctor Who?
Doctor Who.
There are a lot of those self-referential kind of beats.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, like, it's weird, because whenever stuff like that comes up in Doctor Who, I'm like, yes, I love this. I love everything about this. But yeah, I think that's the trick when it's in something like this, which is, you know, supposed to be taking itself seriously and supposed to be like realistic and stuff. I'm like, I don't know.
I think with a lesser actor, it would have been weird. But David Bradley fucking kills that moment.
David Bradley is great. I think this is really just me becoming just a grumpy old man, but I also get a bit jaded and annoyed with some of like the reverence and the iconography stuff as well. But I can't blame.
What do you mean? How do you mean by that?
But you know when like there's a. Oh, it's the Daleks, and TARDIS. You know the TARDIS. You all love... Like, it literally opens with a shot of the fucking a 1960s police box in, like, this, like, gloomy, cloudy atmosphere. And it's like, look at this holy image, this police box, which is so iconic and everything like that. And, like, this isn't the fault of the TV movie at all, because... It's 10 years old and it's in a completely different time. But after we've had, you know, the past decade of fucking legacy sequels where it's just, look at this thing that you know and, oh, the music's going to slow down and, oh, it's the Millennium Falcon. It's the Ghostbusters
But you
car.
Like this, right? You,
I used to.
You're the biggest Star Wars fan I know. And like,
I am. And I'm hypocritical, I guess, because I love it when it's in Star Wars. But I don't always love it. I don't know. There's just like, there's something about that just like forced reverence and iconography. Like the fucking Ghostbusters thing where it's like, look at the Ghostbusters car. Like, the Ghostbusters is a mediocre comedy from the 80s. And it's like, look at this. Whoa, remember everything. Remember how important and worlds change. It's from a pretty okay movie. All right? Like, calm down. All right?
What do you think when we're 50 or 60 years old, what do you think will be like shepherded to the youth of the day?
I hate to think, because, and this is where I will get cynical, it'll just be the same shit. Because they're not making anything new and they're just forcing the same old stuff down our throats. So
there's truth to that.
It'll still be fucking Ghostbusters and Transformers and Star Wars and everything. Like, you know?
90-year-old Hayden Christensen is trying to do his lightsaber twirl in a wheelchair.
You see, I am hypocritical because that fucking episode of Ahsoka where it was like, look, it's Anakin. Look how much you love Anakin. I was like, you know what I do? Yes, you're right, and I love this.
I think it stems down to like individual people's enjoyment, right? Because Star Wars is your thing. So when they do that in Star Wars, and it is a little bit like look at this. You remember this, don't you? When it happens in stuff that you love, it's important to people. And like for me,
but I love Doctor Who.
Yeah, I know. I guess I don't know. Just kind of different strokes for different folks. I guess I don't really.
I think maybe if it was like in Doctor Who itself and not like a show about Doctor Who, then maybe it would be different.
Yeah, because this is telling like this. I don't know. There's an element of like Doctor Who doing it is a bit cheeky and a bit. We remember when we did that, but this is a little bit more like we're telling you a serious story, and this is a man crying, and we've got him saying Tennant's last line. I can't disagree more. By the way, I love that. I think it works brilliantly, and this is one of my favorite. Kind of times that this has happened, like, because I just think when you're going to do stuff it to an actor that can sell it.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair enough. I'm like, I fully understand. This is my issue. Like,
okay.
like I said, I can't blame the TV movie for this at all.
Yeah.
Like, this is my baggage that I'm bringing to the table, okay? But I have to talk about my enjoyment
of it. Hey, it's your podcast.
Exactly. Fuck off.
my last note just says they could have got Matt Smith in the room, though.
Well, no. Apparently that was intentional because, like... seriously, because like the idea was, as Doctor Who goes on, and I genuinely think they might be doing this, as the show goes on, they can put anyone in there. They can do that again with Shooty Gatwa, and I think they're going to, because this is going to be rebroadcast on the BBC for the upcoming 60th anniversary, and Shooty Gatwa recently said he did a scene. He's done a Doctor Who scene with William Hartnell. So, but no one knows. Well, I can't remember if he said with William Hartnell or David Bradley, but he said something to that effect.
He said, I remember this quote, he said the first Doctor.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, and everyone's like, that's weird. Like, where's that coming from? Yeah. So I genuinely think it could be part of it, but hey.
Yeah. I would like to see that, and I'd be happy to be proven wrong about it. If it stays forever as Matt Smith, I was watching this next to my wife, and she didn't have the context.
Well, I've.
Wow. I hate Nathan. I hate it when things are just needlessly referenced. It really it boils my piss. But she just kind of she was watching it, kind of like every now and again glancing up from whatever she was doing. And she went, why is just Matt Smith there? And I was like, Matt Smith was the Doctor at Time of the Air. And I was like, it does make sense.
Not true.
Who was it then?
No, it was Matt Smith.
But yeah, right, so why else? Well, yeah, because but it does at the minute kind of just look like this scene where when you watch it now, it looks like it should either be a different Doctor or have a lot of them just kind of like grinning at him like, hey, we're the Doctor too.
Yeah.
I would like to see it get kind of updated, because I do think that's a nice little thing.
I don't know if you need to.
I think it's as crucial as getting the thank you for, you know, don't forget to subscribe to the official Doctor Who YouTube channel at the end of all the videos.
No, I like the ending, though. Like, when it's you know, like, William Hartnell looking across the console, seeing Matt Smith's Doctor, seeing the future of the show, really, seeing that it's like, it is something that lasts, it's something that goes on all these years, and it started with him. It's like, that's special. I think it's a really beautiful, heartwarming moment.
Yeah,
I think so.
And it's also, it's not meant to be like, it's fucking, it's symbolic, right? David Bradley isn't seeing him. He's just envisioning this bright.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mark Gatiss is not suggesting that in 1966, William Hartnell had some sort of outer body experience and just predicted the future of Doctor Who.
I like it because it's like his granddaughter is kind of ignoring all of his, like, Hartnell's like, you have to not expect so much of your old grandpa. Like, I'm getting old. And and it's just like this scene where she kind of ignores it, and it's just like, my grandpa can do anything. He's Doctor Who. Doctor Who can do anything. And like, there's just this lovely kind of scene where you kind of see him accept the fact that it's time to move on. Even if he doesn't like it, even if he drags himself kicking and screaming, it's time to go. And I do like that as he departs for like the last time, while no one is paying attention to him, he just looks over and just envisions this lovely future for a show that would go on to last many seasons, get cancelled, have a terrible movie, and then come back again.
Whoa. Put some respect on the 1996 movie, okay? I'm not having this.
Okay.
All right?
One day we'll discuss it.
Yes, we will. And mark my words now, those words that you just had, they will be eaten.
Okay? All right.
Some humble pie will be served, I think.
Okay.
Not having this.
Nathan.
Slandering my man Paul.
I'm just seeing. Have you got anything else, by the way, Paul?
No, it's a beautiful time. It's a good, fun time. I enjoy it very much. I would like to see. And you know what? I would like to write and create the version of this for the 2005
I would love to see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who could they get playing Christopher Eccleston?
Me.
And Billy Pup, because that's weird, because they're just two very much alive people.
Well, yeah, this is what you do in like 20 years or whatever. Like, give it some time.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I think that would be interesting to see. I think that could be something quite interesting. And I think it will happen. But
I think it will definitely happen, especially in this Hooniverse era that we're in. Yeah. Hopefully Doctor Who only gets bigger from now on. And doesn't just change again and get... I hope people don't lose interest the same way they did before. I know there is a loyal group that stuck with it through thick and thin, but it definitely did dwindle in terms of its place in pop culture.
It did, but I think people massively exaggerate that.
Yeah, like, I agree. Also, it's a bit it never fell to the lows that some people say it did.
No, people claim it's like it was like seconds away from being cancelled.
Yeah, which is just by the way not true.
No.
they're sat there with the fucking bombshell idea of bringing back Russell and bringing back David Tennant, and they're like, could do that and make lots of money.
Or we could just cancel.
We could just let go of this enormous fucking brand and IP that we've got. One of the only things that we've got as well, I might add.
Yeah, that makes sense in 2023.
Yes, let's do that. That makes so much sense. I see so many people like, if the show ended here, what a beautiful run it had. And I'm like, it just doesn't, though, does it? It doesn't end here. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
And if it does, they brought it back before. It literally got brought back. You're talking about the cancellation of the revival era. What does that say?
Yeah. Hey, I'm not saying it'll never get cancelled. I don't know what I'm saying. I've had a few whiskeys, to be honest. Anyway, moving on, Lawrence. What's the next bit of
Nathan,
the show?
Nathan, the next bit of this show is where the people get to have their say.
Lawrence! You have tweeted out for some thoughts and some feelings and some reactions to whatever we're discussing here today. And the people can do that. And they can do that at Twitter at Another Happy Pod. Or they can email us at not stillgotlegspodcast@gmail.com, but at...
Another Happy Pod at gmail.com.
There we go. That's the one.
So I tweeted out earlier just our... kind of gauge some people's thoughts. I also, as this kind of pertains to Still Got Legs, I also retweeted it from that account just to see if we could get any more Whovian takes.
That's absolutely beautiful. Lawrence, let me ask you one important question.
Yes.
Did we get any responses?
No, we did not.
That's beautiful. That's good. Lawrence, is there a reason for that?
It may be because I did it. I mean, I tweeted it 5 hours ago.
Okay, yeah, but you know what 5 hours is? It's not 2 days, is it?
No,
which is what I do on... Still got legs. So.
Listen, all right? It's fine. It doesn't matter. I'm a bit let down by the Still Got Legs crowd, I can't lie. I've seen them give you some leeway on, like, 20-minute tweets before, but that's fine.
True. Yeah, they know when a tweet comes out and it's written by me.
They can tell, yeah.
I was going to say, I can always tell, but of course I can.
Because it's you!
Because it's me, and I'm like, oh, I didn't write that one.
Nathan, did you know that at the end of all these episodes, we like to do this thing called a recommendation?
I had no idea.
Oh, well then let me tell you how we do them. So basically, we recommend things to each other and to you, our lovely, loyal listeners. And basically, it can be anything that we've watched, done, experienced, seen, I don't know, anything engaged with.
Whiskey number 7.
Wait, hang on, we skipped 6.
Did we?
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
Oh, no, I've lost count. Wait. No, yes, you're right. Yes, sorry, whiskey number 6.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So you didn't just not tell me about 6?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I can't be sure.
Fair enough. Right, basically, it's stuff that we've watched or engaged with in some way, stuff that we've experienced. Nathan, what is your recommendation this week? I've passed off to you while you're having a drink. I will give you a moment.
I want you to go first.
Okay. Are you going to copy me, or are you going to think of a drink?
No, I'm not. I know. I genuinely already have one.
Okay. My recommendation this week, Nathan, is a show on ITV called Mamma Mia, I Have a Dream.
Thank God it's not the same as mine. Okay. Lawrence, just by the name of this show, okay?
Yeah.
I'm immediately getting flashbacks to those shows that were on in like the sort of the late 2000s, where it's like Joseph, Any Dream Will Do,
yeah,
or like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, where it's like sort of like an X Factor singing contest, but the idea is, instead of like getting a record deal and a drug problem or whatever, you actually get...
a record deal, no career.
Yeah, a record deal, no career.
To be surpassed by your runners-up every time.
Yeah, to be surpassed by Harry Styles. Instead, you get a role in a West End show, presumably, in this case, Mamma Mia.
Nathan,
am I correct in assuming that, Lawrence?
You would be so bang on, it hurts.
Oh, we are so fucking back, boys. What is this show?
Nathan, so basically it's set in a villa in Greece. You know the vibe of the X Factor judges' houses section of the show?
Well, which is bullshit, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course. not back then, but an Airbnb.
Yeah, absolutely.
They hired a villa.
Let's go to Gary Barlow's house, and it's this big fucking stately home in Manchester. Like, are you fucking kidding? Yeah. Fuck off,
I know, man. What Gary Barlow wants to do. It's to give everyone on TV in the nation an inside look at the security in his home. He wants to do.
That was very funny, those. When they're like, this is where we live. No, it's not.
Yeah.
But, all right.
Just one of those contestants should have been like, do you live here? Go make me something to eat, then. Where's the stuff? Where's your utensils, mate?
The most immaculate place that has never been lived in before. You'll ever see.
It's literally a show home.
Literally.
But yeah. So anyway, it's an ITV competition. It's essentially has that judges' houses vibe. It's a lovely villa in Greece where they have picked from open auditions, which is why I think it's quite interesting.
Ooh, and so just from the regular plebs.
Regular plebs. And also that's depicted in talent levels. There are some people that I go, there was no one better than this guy or this girl. Like, what the hell?
So what roles are they gunning for?
So there are 7 girls, 7 boys, and they are going to win the contract of a year at the West End performing the roles of Skye and Sophie from Mamma Mia. So basically the Sophie wins. Like, being Skye is a big deal, but like, he's not why people go to Mamma Mia.
Not at all. Yeah. But then I haven't seen the stage musical. It might be different than the movie.
Maybe.
Because, like, Skye's hardly in the movie.
Yeah.
Really.
That's also really funny because, like, there are kind of personal notes from, like, Amanda Seyfried and stuff. She, like, videos in the girls and she's like, good luck, girls. Hope you all do great. And then for Skye's, like, video message, it's just not Dominic Cooper and it's the guy who plays Skye on West End currently.
Okay.
So it's just like, there's an aura of like...
Well, that's true to the movie in that he's hardly in it.
Yeah, and appears like he largely doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
But no, it's a really, really good little show. We watched like 4 episodes of it the other night. I think there's 5 out. I think it's an 8-week run. And basically what they do every week is they have these judges have them perform a musical number. Can be a musical theatre thing, can just be like a song.
Yes.
And they also take them through like acting workshops. And it's quite fun to like pick who you think might get it because there are some. One guy is a phenomenal singer.
Yeah.
But he has absolutely zero like chemistry with any of the partners he's been put with and his acting sucks. So like it's interesting watching him lose his spot over people that can like hold a tune but can act really well. Because you have to find that balance in musical theatre.
No, you got to be the triple threat. That's what they say. The triple threat, singing, dance, and acting.
And Nathan, there is something that if you weren't already on board to watch it, I think this can tip you over the edge.
Here we go. Big moment.
There are 4 judges. 2 of them I don't know, 2 of them I do. One is Alan Carr, and the other is Glee's very own Amber Riley, Mercedes Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not my favorite Glee cast member, I will say.
But
if you had thrown a...
I know you've had a few whiskeys and some of them are dead, so be careful.
More of them are dead. No, that's not true. I don't know. They're all kind of unlikable, but like...
That's the characters, though. Amber Riley is a lovely human being.
Yeah, no, that's true. I'm sure she is. Alan Carr I find very annoying.
I thought so too, but he fits into this show very well, I think.
I also find anyone who like... Just like, you know, just hosts TV annoying. Because like, I was watching I was watching Children in Need on Friday because there was the Doctor Who scene, which is literally the only reason I was watching it.
Yeah.
And also to support the kids, of course. That makes me sound awful.
I won't ask you if you donated. I'll do you that good
I did,
grace.
Actually. Oh, fuck okay. You, I did, actually. Yeah,
okay, well, then don't ask me.
Yeah, exactly. How the turntables have turned indeed, my friend. I was watching Children in Need, and they for some reason they have like seven hosts of this show, and I'm like, they're mostly awful. It's just like, don't get me wrong, they're fine at what they do, all right?
Yeah.
They're doing what they need to do, but it's just it's this awkward staged banter.
Yeah.
And it's just I'm sure everyone in the studio is having a good time, all right? I'm sure the audience are having fun. But it's just, for me watching at home, I'm like, this is horrendous.
Yeah.
It's just, ugh.
They need to every stop writing those bits in. Like, it's like when two awkward actors that have never met each other shuffle out on stage at the Oscars and they're like, I love this movie. And the other one that just clearly hasn't seen it is like, me too.
Me too, yeah. It's awkward, like, staged banter is one of the worst things ever because it just never really works.
Yeah,
really.
It's just they keep trying and they keep failing. I respect the commitment, yeah, but give up at some point.
Yeah. What I will say is there was a young lad who was one of the hosts of Children in Need. I think he's like 14, 15 or something like that, and he's going to be on the next series of Doctor Who as well. And he's great. He's a young disabled kid, which is why he was part of Children in Need. And he was actually the funniest out of all of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, he was great. But, like, you got, like, fucking Jason Manford and fucking... Who's that Geordie guy? Chris Ramsey? And it's just...
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's just a awkward banner, and it's just like...
Was any of them Dermot O'Leary?
No, thank fuck.
Thank God society has healed that much at least.
Yeah. Was it Dermot O'Leary who did the... No, I'm thinking of Ollie Murs.
Ollie Murs is equally as painful of a host.
Yeah, they're pretty interchangeable.
Yeah.
But you remember when he like posted a video of like putting his dick in a can of Pringles or whatever?
I still reference that. If I see a can of Pringles out, I just put it to my crotch and I'm just like, hey.
It was a weird thing to do.
It's for Ollie Murs. For Ollie. I raise it up in support of Ollie Murs.
It's for Ollie Murs.
You got to do it for Ollie.
For Ollie. That's the funniest fucking thing I've ever said.
Oh, God. Nathan, what did you recommend? What are you recommending?
Oh, it's for Ollie Murs.
You got to do it for Ollie. You got to show up for Ollie. I love the fact that Ollie Murs like came fairly high up in X Factor and then like 10 or like 5 years later came back with his tail between his legs to host it. Like, is this not, that seems like a crazy thing to do when you're trying to be like, this show makes superstars that come back to have hosting gigs on our show.
That happens quite a lot. Like, yeah, there's a few like people who like got quite far on X Factor are now just like TV hosts. Like, Rylan is just a fucking... He's quite good. I quite like Rylan, to be fair. He's quite funny.
Stacey Solomon?
She was on it. Fuck, yes.
Yeah.
I forgot about her. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, she was... she's quite good as well.
She does celebrity Gogglebox and stuff now.
She does... She occasionally does Loose Women. And Loose Women is one of those shows where, like... Everyone on the panel is terrible. They're just like, let's get four of the worst people you've ever met and let's hear their opinions about stuff. But like, whenever Stacey Solomon is on there, she's like the only one who's talking sense, yeah, bizarrely.
She's just looking around at these like out of touch old Tories.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Anyway, goodness. Nathan, what are you recommending this week?
Lawrence, this week I am recommending a TV show.
Nice.
That I watched. Well, I'm watching because it's currently on at the moment. I've seen two episodes so far, two episodes out at the moment. It is Monarch: Legacy of Monsters. This is on Apple TV Plus, the best streaming network. I'll say it.
Oh, okay.
For original content, fighting words. It's great. It's fucking great. Really good stuff. So this obviously takes place within the monster verse. So your King Kongs, your Godzillas, your
in the movie universe.
In the movie universe. Yeah. There's a scene. There's a scene where it's set in 2015. Well, it's set in 2015, but also in the 50s as well.
Yeah.
So it's set across two time periods, and you have Wyatt Russell, your favorite Captain America, playing.
I do like Wyatt Russell.
You do. You loved it. Like your whole takeaway from that show was, I loved that racist Captain America.
No, that's not. It's more nuanced than that, Nathan.
You were cheering when he beheaded that guy.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, but you have Wyatt Russell, who is great as this soldier in the 50s or whatever. And then you have Kurt Russell in the 2015. That's his dad, yes. But in this, he's playing the same person. So that's quite interesting.
That is fucking. That is pretty cool. What, just the older version of him, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's also playing a version of him who is 91. I found out this week on Twitter. Kurt Russell, he's old, but he's not that fucking old. Right?
Yeah, right.
That is a handsome 91-year-old. He can get about. He can move. And
does he have to get amongst it with any of the monsters and stuff?
I don't know, because he's only in the last.
His bones shattered, isn't he?
He's only been in the last scene of episode two so far.
Okay,
he's just been introduced to it, but it genuinely a great show. More intrigue and mystery focused than some of the movies are.
Yeah,
than some of the movies have been, and there's a really good premise which I won't spoil, which has been set up. And there's one scene in particular which genuinely horrified me.
Ooh, okay.
And I won't say why, but once the scene finished, I was absolutely fucking shocked at what I saw, because it was quite disturbing.
And how far are you in?
Two episodes. There's two episodes out so far.
Oh, okay. It's a weekly thing then.
Yeah, it's a weekly thing every Friday. That's what that is. But yeah, it's set within the movie universe. There's a scene. You remember when in Godzilla 2014... when Godzilla destroys the San Francisco Bridge.
Yes.
Yes, there's a scene which we see that from another perspective, from someone on the actual bridge.
Oh, wow. Itself. Okay.
Yeah, and it's fucking amazing. Really well done.
That does sound really cool. Yeah, no, I like that. Because that's one of my favorite things about that. Obviously, it leans into the alternate universe on all this Godzilla and Kong fighting each other and stuff. But the thing I really, really found interesting about that monsterverse was kind of the soldiers going about in 2014, and then also the kind of all the regular people in Kong Skull Island. Yeah. I loved all of how they.
Speaking
are
of which,
it.
The show opens with fucking John Goodman on Skull Island.
Oh shit!
He's filming a video while he's been chased by that big fucking spider thing.
Is it kids? I love you.
literally. Yeah.
My name is Walter Hardwell White.
My name is Walter Hardwell White. I live at 40. No, but it's great. And it's also interesting to see how the general public has then reacted to Godzilla and what has since been called G-Day and that type of stuff. Because there's a character, I won't say why, but they go to Japan, they go to Tokyo, and in the airport, there's these signs of follow this way for the Godzilla evacuation route and this type of stuff.
Okay.
And then she's in a taxi, and her taxi driver is nah, it's all fake. San Francisco, it was a big hoax. They did it with CGI. It's all
of course
fake.
There'd be a guy like this. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's really interesting. But yeah, really good so far. I'll say it again. Apple, the best streamer for original content.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shows on Apple which I genuinely love.
They have had they're home to a few of your favorites. They've done Ted Lasso. They did that Joel Kinnaman on the Moon.
That is a show, because I'm watching season 4 of Joel Kinnaman on the Moon at the moment, and I was genuinely struggling to should I recommend this or recommend that?
Yeah.
Because I'm watching them both, and they're both great.
And now you've kind of done it both ways.
Hey, well, I just spoiled my recommendation for next week, but
you can still do it. Fuck them.
But hey,
I see the retention. I see how many of you stay to this point.
I don't look at it. There's some good stuff on there. So
indeed.
Check it out. You can get a free trial as well. You can get like Apple will be like, yeah, sure, you can have 3 months for free. Why not?
It sounds like something I would watch if not for next week we were doing this.
The body of an 11-year-old child was found on Harbour Cliff Beach at Broadchurch.
Thank you very, very much for listening. If you have enjoyed the show, then please feel free to leave us a little review. 5 stars, no less, would be appreciated. Thank you very much. If you can do that on your podcast platform of choice, that would be swell as hell. You can also give us a little follow on Twitter. We are at Another Happy Pod. For any updates as well as your thoughts, normally I would tweet out a little bit earlier and you might be able to have...
No, you wouldn't.
I know, but I will try and give you all a fair chance to leave your thoughts next week. And you can do that over on the Twitter as well. You can also mosey on over to our pinned tweet. That's where you'll be able to suggest stuff. You can kind of suggest a little option for us. Maybe we'll discuss it, maybe we won't. Nathan, I don't know if you're aware of this. I feel like we're both very much conscious of it this week. We have another podcast, don't we?
I don't think we're really talking about it this week. I feel like we've brought it up enough, to be honest.
That's fair. That is fair.
I feel like we've mentioned it a fair bit. It's still got legs podcast. It's available on all podcast platforms. Go check it out.
He still snuck it in anyway. He's a crafty bastard. Thank you very, very much for listening. We will see you all next week.
Wahoo. It's not Mario. Just finishing up whiskey number 7, by the way. Oh, wait. Shit, no. Was it number 6? Which one am I on? Oh, no! Fuck. I have to say, Lawrence stopped recording, so none of that will make sense, because you'll just be hearing me on my own. You can cut all this out.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awakes. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.